Contest of Champions, episode number 34, Rockslide versus Wolverine.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome back, comic book fans, to season number 2 of the Contest of Champions Live. This is the place where comic book nerds from around the globe come to debate who the toughest superheroes are. This is the 14th fight of season 2 and the 34th episode under our belt since we have gone live. But we would not be the best comic book podcast on the net if not for you all out there, our dedicated listeners, and our reliable competitors. So a big shout out to all of our supporters.
And with you, as always, are your hosts with the most, the Clobberin' Clergyman, Jeff Jackson. How's it going, Jeff?
Good. How are you? Whoa.
You can hear how I am.
Party at Cape Killer's house.
They love to torture each other, my kids.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and myself, the Canadian Cape Killer in the House of Crazy. joining us this week is the guy who has recently taken his case that Power Girl should return to her better costume, and better is in quotation marks, to the Supreme Court of Canada. That's Dan Briand.
Dan? Good evening.
And Dan's opponent tonight, the name tag refusing, Rebel Without a Cause himself, Infinite Speech, who can't make it on right now because he is incarcerated. So,
but hopefully he'll get one phone call, and that phone call will be to us.
So, well, he did. He texted me something about he thinks he knows how a way to break out of the back of the cop car, so we could see him tonight.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Very good. So while we wait for Speech, let's start off with
I just want to say one thing. Sure. I need to. We need to somehow cleanse this show of the amount of DC talk that went on last week in my absence. Somehow Eli and Tom thought that they could make this episode an episode where they just decided to cram as much DC shit into the hour and a half that they could possibly do because they haven't been allowed to do that, but they kind of steamrolled over Ian, I heard, and just, you know, I'm pretty sure they gagged him and just went at it with all the DC stuff. So I almost feel like we need to have some kind of ritual, some seance or something where we can, you know, somehow cleanse the air of all the DC nonsense.
But you know what we could do?
What's that?
We could burn some AVX books.
Oh, okay, yeah, and sacrifice those to the Marvel gods.
I'd be willing to rid myself of them for the greater good.
Yes, yeah. Well, I you know, that's fine. I'll get the lighter and the fuel.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I never used the word drone much, but those two guys sure did drone on. That's for sure. Wow.
Yeah. Well, speaking of DC.
Speaking of DC, I'm going to sort of pick up where I left off last week with the news, and it's started leading us off with some more DC news. There has been buzz that Justice League, Wonder Woman, and the Lobo movies, which we've talked about a little bit in the past, are in the works. But Variety magazine is reporting that Warner Brothers isn't stopping there. Rumor has it that there are at least 5 more hero franchises in development, not to mention a conversation about how to reboot Batman now that Christopher Nolan has wrapped up the trilogy. The 5 movies that seem to be in question are The Flash, Green Arrow, Aquaman, Suicide Squad, and Shazam. No word yet on who's working on these projects or when we might see them, but they seem to be the front runners out of all of the available names. This is in addition to the release of Zack Snyder's Man of Steel next year and further discussion about the future of the Green Lantern franchise, a future that could include a reboot of the character without Ryan Reynolds.
Ooh, thank goodness.
Now, the one that confused me was Suicide Squad. I know I'm not a big DC fan or anything like that, but what the hell is Suicide Squad?
Who's in that? I don't even know. I guess we would need Tom or to tell us that.
I know they're in essence, aren't they like the Thunderbolts? Aren't they a team of villains?
Don't know.
I think you're right.
No clue.
I get them and the Doom Patrol confused. You know, and now all of the DC listeners out there are like, "Boo! I hate this show." How could he get the Suicide Squad and Doom Patrol mixed up? Oh my god! I think that it's just really funny that all of a sudden DC's like, "Oh, you know, we probably should have been making really good movies, you know, the last 10 years. But now that Avengers is out, they're like, yeah, Marvel pretty much has a death grip on awesome superhero movies, and you know, we only have Batman, and so yeah, I mean, I guess it's good to see them kind of jumping on, but." But I don't really care. This is.
It seems like it's always too little, too late.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, WB has deep pockets. They could have done a lot of this stuff a long time ago.
Right. Right. And
in a movie about Flash, a movie about Green Arrow, a movie about Aquaman, and a movie about Shazam, they're not going to do well.
Yeah. No.
Like, in all honesty, they're not going to do well. Like, Justice League might. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of interesting, you know? Wonder Woman? Never. Lobo? Nobody knows who the guy is.
Right.
You know, like, it's like Warlord of Mars. You know what I mean? Like, you can't... Just because you got some comic book fans who think a certain book is cool, they have these kind of cult followers, doesn't mean you can take it and make it into a movie.
Here's what they need to do. They need to do the reverse of what Marvel did. In order to make up for their mistake, they've got to come out with just the most kick-ass Justice League movie that there ever was, and that needs to come out soon. Like that, and they got to kick that off. Like they got to kick off the whole DC cinematic universe with that, and make that so awesome that then they can go and maybe make. Do something like, you know, from there kind of split it off into maybe make a Superman Batman movie, a World's Finest. Maybe make a Green Arrow, Green Lantern. Maybe, you know, but just kind of then split off from Justice League and kind of go out from there. And then if people like those characters enough and they're awesome and they're done well, then maybe you could do a solo movie with them, but
you know they're not though. They're so convinced that they need to play catch up with Marvel right now in the movie business that they're just going to start throwing everything at the wall just to see what sticks. Mm-hmm. You know, like they're going to be whipping stuff out all over the place.
It'll be quantity and not quality.
Yeah. Well, on to some better news.
Okay.
This week, and we never talk about toys on this show.
Right.
This week in cool toy news, Hasbro is surprising visitors to the Comic-Con International in July with an opportunity to purchase exclusive Super Helicarrier toys. This limited edition gem is over 4 feet long and can be yours for the low price of $129.99. And personally, I was thinking I could slip this little purchase by my wife without her knowing by maybe throwing a tablecloth over it or something, pretending that it was just the ironing board. I wasn't busy playing with it, so.
Well, okay, so does it have, like the Avengers action figures with it, or?
The picture that I saw, they were on it. Now, I don't think they come with it, but they were on it. So it's pretty impressive. It's pretty, it's quite the sizable toy.
Well, it reminds me of, when we say it, it harkens back to the G.I. Joe, USS Flag.
Yeah.
Carrier, and God, I always wanted that. I always just dreamed that was like the pinnacle of toys. That it was so elusive, I could never get. But
yeah.
That would be awesome, very very awesome.
Yeah, very cool. So there we have it. There's our news from your two favorite comic hosts, news anchormen.
Right. Very good.
So let's move on. And previously on COC.
Last week we saw a desperate Daniel Fabrizio trying to protect his last fighter, Mockingbird. Actually, he didn't do that at all because he wasn't here on the show and he didn't show up in the forums. But needless to say, but he did use his temporary insanity card. And and the reason that he wasn't on the show was because of it was my mistake. Because I didn't give Ian the proper information to get Daniel on the show. So, but will it be enough against will the temporary insanity card be enough to put Mockingbird over the edge against the wily veteran Charles Xavier, who is managed by an equally wily veteran Tom McNeely? So stay tuned, True Believers, for the answer is right around the corner. And you can go back and review. There was a lot of discussion actually about even though Tom only made one post and Daniel didn't show at all. But there's a lot of back and forth banter thanks to Mac 24/7 that accompanied this throwdown. And you can go to comicattack.former.com and throw your two cents in. So what happened on the forum there, Ian?
Yeah, it was a tie on the forum. There was 50% of the votes for Mockingbird and 50% of the votes for Xavier.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, I thought so. I especially found it interesting because there was no rationale for Mockingbird. Not on the podcast and not on the forum.
Well, there was Mac. Mac 24/7 got on there and
made
one. Yeah.
But I mean, like, you know, and we love Mac getting on there and doing that. But I mean, I don't know. For me, I always, you know, I want to hear it from the manager. I want to hear what the manager's got to say.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's interesting that Mockingbird pulled in three votes.
Right.
I thought.
Yeah.
So what do you think, Jeff?
Well, I think that the Mac 24/7 really tried to play up the insanity card kind of thing, and he posted actually a really good something I'd really forgotten about, which was from around X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, circa 1980 something, around issue number 200, where Xavier gets beat up by a couple of thugs and beat up pretty badly, and I thought that was just interesting. I had forgotten about that. And that was a good panel to show. I think when you're fighting Xavier, that's the one you need to pull out, because he did have both use of his legs at that time, and I think full telepathy. I think he was in his new regenerated body though, after he had been invaded by a brood, and they ended up having to clone his body. It's so stupid. But anyway, they cloned his body and gave him a new body and put his mind into his new body so he could walk and all that stuff. But, you know, but it's been a long time since that. And Xavier has been crippled since then, and then back, and he's walking again. And which, by the way, there was this one panel in AVX, number 5.
Yeah, with totally out of left field. What the hell was that?
Okay, they're on the front. They're on the front little recap page, you know. I was like, okay, great. They're finally gonna bring Xavier and Legion into this. And like, there's one little panel where they're like standing.
They're on the beach.
But they're not like hanging out, like, because Xavier's like wearing a full suit and he's like standing in the water. It was just the most random picture. It just didn't make any sense. But anyway, but you know, Xavier is still even though he's not being written at all in any book right now, he is still the premier, one of the premier telepaths in the Marvel Universe. He has, being a part of such groups as the Illuminati And you know, that doesn't mean that you're a wuss. Mockingbird is just on another level. And even I think Daniel had to throw out the temporary insanity card because he had to give her something. And fighting in the bar with no name. You know, I really liked what Tom had to say in last week's show about. I mean, you know, basically you have all these guys that are pretty dim-witted or you know, at least low-level thug criminals, and Xavier could use that to his advantage. I mean, he could either you know, turn all of them against Mockingbird because she's an Avenger. I just think that's a much more reasonable thing, even if she's batshit crazy. I think that was enough to convince me that Xavier would pull out the win. So
cool. And by the way, too, the reason why Xavier was standing in the water in his suit is because some of Iron Man's telepathy sapping nanobots were still in the air that he used on Emma.
Really?
Yeah, and drove him into the water. No, I'm just making that up.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe that happened in Iron Man, and I just didn't read it.
No. I thought it was stupid the first time around, so it'd be great to use it the second time.
Yeah. Why not? Yeah.
Sounds good. What was I going to say about Bar with No Name? Oh, I know. There's a couple of different ways that I was looking at this fight. One of the things is the Bar with No Name. Every time I've seen an appearance with the Bar with No Name, and this might sound like kind of a weird thing to notice, but I've noticed that the villains that are in the Bar with No Name, they tend to be, like Jeff said, they're low-level BC list guys. But none of them are really X-Men villains. None of them are villains that you'd see in any of the X books. Now, I could be wrong. There could be a couple of floating around their background because usually there's like 50 of them in there. But a lot of them are Avengers villains or people that have fought against the different Avengers. So you throw Mockingbird into that bar and you throw Xavier into that bar. I think the first person that's going to really stick out really quickly to those villains is Mockingbird. I think they're going to notice her right away. And many of them are going to notice her as being the kind of person who's, you know, probably put a few of them in jail or beat a bunch of them up and that kind of stuff. So it wouldn't take much to get the people in that bar on, you know, up in arms against Mockingbird. I think with a little bit of persuasion, I could have been tempted to vote for Mockingbird in this fight. With all the minds and all the crazy people that are in the bar and, you know what I mean, the scattered thoughts and all that kind of stuff like that. And then you throw that on top with Mockingbird being the, you know, temporary insane kind of thing. Like I said to Tom last week, I could see her throwing one of her little sticks and, you know, really getting a good shot in on Xavier before he can kind of come to his senses. And before he can zap her, you know what I mean? And get her with his telepathy. But I don't know. Like I said before, there was nothing in rationales that really convinced me that she could do it. So my vote was for Xavier. I think there's a million and one ways that he could go about this fight. I love how Tom, you know, didn't say, well, he's going to take his telepathy and shut her brain down. Like, I like how he didn't take that route. And he never does, right? Tom never does. He always kind of, he's like the gentleman COC fighter whenever he goes about something. So yeah, I voted Xavier.
All right, so that takes Mockingbird out of the game and also takes our rookie sensation, Daniel Fabrizio, out of the game. He is the first casualty of war in our tournament this time. And poor Daniel, he really didn't have a very good run here, even though I liked his team a lot. Venom, Psylocke, Mockingbird, Rezo, Kodo, and Gambit. I mean, I think those were all, you know, good choices. But in the end, they were not enough to shake the seasoned veterans of COC, and so he got taken out pretty quickly. So, and two times by Professor X, which is kind of a, you know, a little salt in the wound there. But anyway, we want to really thank Daniel for being willing to play the game and to join us on the show. And he's welcome back anytime. And we always just appreciate everybody who gives up their Sunday nights to talk nerd with us. So we thank Daniel for his participation in the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and if you want to learn more about COC, go back and, of course, you know, listen to all of our episodes, or of course go to comicattack.former.com and look it up in the form appropriately titled COC. Now, next week, I did just want to say real quick, we may have a special guest that has not appeared on the show before, but I want to leave it a surprise for the listeners out there.
Hey, Jeff.
Yes.
I don't know if for Dan it did the same thing. For me, you just cut off completely. I didn't hear anything you just said.
Okay.
No, I got it.
You got it? I didn't. Okay. It's the second time it's done that for me, too.
Oh, okay. Well, I think it's recording. So, but anyway, but what I was saying, Ian, was that next week we may have a surprise guest on the show.
Okay.
It's someone who has history with the COC, but has never been on the podcast before.
Oh, cool.
So we'll see. Hopefully we'll have him next week.
Very cool. I love surprises.
Good.
Tonight's question of the week comes from none other than the comicattack.former.com creator himself, Daniel Brienne. The lovely.
My question.
Your question.
His question.
Do you want to ask your own question?
Yeah, I might as well ask my own question. I gotta go find it. Hold on. Almost there. Okay. So, my question is, it's actually a sort of a three-part question that rolls into one. So this is a get to know your COC-er question. Something like, how old are you? What kind of car do you own or drive, if any? And what's your major vice?
Hmm. Vice.
Jeff, do you want to go first? Or you want me to?
I'd like for you to go first.
Okay. My name is Ian.
Hello, Ian.
I'm almost 40, just about 40. I'm always confused for.
Is your birthday coming up?
Much, much, much younger. In November, I'll be 40.
Nice.
I just bought in terms of what kind of car do I own, I just actually bought a brand new Ford F-150 pickup truck.
Nice.
Which is interesting because I've never in my life owned a truck. And so I just decided I was going to buy one because it's useful for the things that I do. And now I can't imagine ever not driving a truck. I love it. I love it. Love it a lot. In terms of vices, I thought that was a funny question because you know, what's your major vice? For me, it's easier to talk about what aren't my vices. I don't smoke. I've never smoked a day in my life. My parents were heavy, heavy smokers, and it really turned me off on smoking. So I've never once ever in my life smoked. So that's a vice I don't have. Other than that, I think I have all the other vices. I listen to loud music. I drive too fast.
right.
Drink too much.
Right. Right.
You know.
All right.
How about you?
Well, my name is Jeff, and I just turned 34 last Sunday, and that's why I was not here on the show because I was having a little dinner party get together with some friends, including. Our own question master himself, Moses, was here, and we were imbibing and eating burritos and having a great time. It was a lot of fun. I wish you guys lived in Georgia, and then I would have invited you. I drive a '97 Jeep Wrangler, which needs a little bit of work on it, but it's in pretty good shape overall. And my vice really is doing this show, at least maybe in the eyes of my wife. no, but you know, I only really drink when I'm with friends at a party, or if I'm doing the show, which I'm doing right now, I'm drinking a rum and coke as we speak. And like Ian, my father is a like Ian's parents, my father is also a heavy smoker, and so I've never smoked ever in my life because he, you know, I've just kind of watched. He's had multiple heart attacks and just all this stuff, so I don't ever really smoke. And you know, I listen to loud music. I don't see loud music as being a vice, but I listen to all kinds of music. In fact, I was driving to church today, and I was listening to the Beastie Boys, and I realized, wow, you know, like just thinking about, you know, if I in my Jeep, I don't have a radio for my iPod. Like, I don't have a plug for my iPod. And so I pretty much have to listen to my – I usually just listen to my music with headphones on in the car, which I don't know if that's legal or not. But I was just kind of thinking, well, you know, what if I pulled up to church and I just had, you know, the Beastie Boys blasting? But that would be kind of funny. But I don't think anybody would – I mean, they just know that that's who I am and what I do, so – So yeah, so that's my answer. Dan, are you gonna answer your own question?
Yeah, I might as well.
Okay.
My name is Dan, and 33 years old. Actually, I'll be 34 in November. I think our birthdays are almost the same date there, Ian. A few years apart.
Ian's our wise old, like splinter kind of mentor kind of person.
That's right.
You know what, though? I didn't even have to tell the listeners that I'm older than you guys. They just know from my wisdom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Sorry, Dan.
That's all good. So, yeah, I drive. Well, right now I have two cars, but I mainly drive the – I have a 2010 Toyota Matrix, so drive that around. It's a good car. It's the car that brought me to California and then to Chicago. And wow. Eventually it'll bring me to Georgia.
Yeah, Dragon Con in September, buddy. You need to come down.
I don't think for this year, but maybe next year, the one after or something.
All right.
Anyways,
all right.
See. As far as major vices, I don't know if I have actually a major vice. I have a similar story to you guys. I mean, I don't smoke, but my mom is like a huge chain smoker.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that kind of turned me. And my brother doesn't smoke either, so it's kind of the same story there, too.
Right.
It's weird how that you know, but I married a smoker. My wife smokes, so.
Boo.
Yeah, I know. Boo.
Dirty smoker rogue.
Yeah, she does. I keep telling her, but she gives me the evil eye, and I'm like, "Yes, dear."
Does she not see those smoking commercials where they like show an emaciated person? And says, you know, or the guy who like holds up the whole thing
that
and says,
"That doesn't affect smokers." You can put a big skull and crossbones on the pack of cigarettes, and they'll still buy it. You know,
that's right. That's true.
That's true. What a drug is, right? But I guess if I had to say advice, it would be my whiskey. I like my whiskey. Gotta have my glass of whiskey.
What if you said, "My only vice is heroin"?
It's not a big one. It's just one little tiny vice.
Yeah, right.
Dan, aren't you a gamer as well?
Well, yeah. I guess that could be considered. My wife would think so too. Yeah. So I'm a bit of a gamer. You know, any free time I have is typically not spent just sitting around. I have to sit around with a controller in my hand.
Mm-hmm. All right. Cool. Very cool. Well, that was a good question. Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the spirit of superheroes fighting superheroes, it is our tradition on the show for all of us to choose one fight from this week's comics that we consider to be the highlight fight of the week. And I'll go first. My fight comes from Ultimate Comics Spider-Man number 11. By Brian Michael Bendis and quite possibly my new favorite artist, which is David Marquez. This guy is just kicking ass on this book, and it's just so good. But anyway, the fight is that this Ultimate Spider-Man is Miles Morales, and he has an uncle named Aaron, who is also known as the Prowler. And he has kind of convinced Miles to help him take down this new criminal in town named the Scorpion, which is unlike the Scorpion from the 616. He's really a very thuggish, kind of tattooed, kingpin kind of guy. And so Prowler has asked Spidey to kind of take Scorpion down, that they would take him down together. And so Prowler shows up at Scorpion's headquarters with all of, you know, his thugs around him. And then through the skylight, Miles, you know, jumps through and lands. And just some great Spidey moments, you know, like, you know, Miles is much younger than Peter Parker. Peter Parker, when he first started, was the same age as Miles is now. But, I mean, he's like 12 or 13 years old. I mean, he's very, very young. And so he's just got all the inexperience. And so he just says the funniest things as he's fighting. But he lands and he stands next to Prowler. And they just start shooting at both of them. And Miles is just flipping all over the place. And then he's shooting all the thugs and pushing them and beating them up and all this stuff, and Scorpion grabs him by the leg and just like slams him into the ground and just starts beating the hell out of Miles. And there's just one great panel, which is just the profile panel of Scorpion's fist right in Miles's face, and there's a negative space onomatopoeia that says smack that's right in the middle of the panel. It's just really, really well done. And Miles is like, he says, ow, I've actually never been punched in the face before. And then he goes to stand up, and because he just got punched in the face, he falls back down. And Scorpion just like is grabbing him by the throat, and finally Prowler shocks Scorpion with one of those little gun things that shocks people, and then so Miles starts fighting back and just starts really like going at it and pounding Scorpion. But the Scorpion plays possum and grabs Miles again and just smashes his head right into the floor. But then Miles, one of the powers that Miles has that 616 Spidey doesn't have is that he can turn invisible. And so he turns invisible, and that's when he ends up just beating the crap out of Scorpion. And eventually Scorpion gets away, but it's just a really, really great fight. And he gets away temporarily, and then Miles jumps down, and he also has... Miles has this little venom blast kind of thing, and so he touches Scorpion's foot, and basically it sends just all these volts through Scorpion's body. But anyway, this Spider-Man is just so much fun. He's got so many cool powers, and this was just a great book. And David Marquez's art, oh God. This guy needs to be. I mean, it's kind of a shame that he's not drawing AVX while John Romita Jr. is turning in absolute crap. But anyway, sorry, I went on way too long about that. But it was a good book. So, all right, Ian, do you got one?
No, I'm not going to pick a fight of the week this week because I don't think there were any good fights. Like, I had some good books in my stack, but I wouldn't say that I had any memorable fights.
What was a good book, then?
What was a good book?
Yeah.
I enjoyed Winter Soldier this week, which is interesting because I was going to drop it because I hated it. And Brubaker turned it around for me a little. We'll see. I'm not a big Brubaker fan. I find his writing very slow.
Yeah, I thought you said it was really boring.
Yeah, no, all of the books up to this point have been.
Right.
This one, I don't know, this one just had an interesting twist to it. It had a nice flow to it. I liked it. I liked where it went. The previous issues, I just couldn't care. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't, I didn't care about the character, and I didn't care about the plot, and yeah, even the art, a little dark for my tastes, little busy. But yeah, this issue was pretty good. That and Journey into Mystery, I thought, were my two favorite books this week. Not good fights in either of them, but good stories. Journey into Mystery had some really funny. They're actually, like, I'll tell you the one spot thing in Journey into Mystery. Kid Loki is journeying to, where did he go? I don't know, like California or something like that, to try and solve this problem. And he actually has to take a plane to go. And so he brings his little muse Leah along with him. And waiting for him at the airport is one of the, oh no, actually, sorry, he goes to England. And waiting for him at the airport is one of the Celtic gods.
Yeah.
And he's standing there, you know, the limo drivers and stuff will hold a sign with the name on it. And so yeah, there's this huge, huge Celtic god guy waiting with all these little scared English people. And he's holding the sign that says Loki. And he's got this big antlers on his head and stuff like that. It's just, it's such a wicked scene. Like when you see this huge, massive dude just standing there in the airport with a sign. You know, and you can tell, you know, he probably just found it on the floor and scribbled the name Loki on it. Nice. Nothing to do with fighting, but it was clever. Kieran Gillen, he tries his hardest to be clever, and for me, oftentimes it seems like he's trying his hardest to be clever. This book, though, he was actually clever, so I'll give him that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even though me and Jeff are not friends with Kieran Gillen,
yeah, he doesn't like us.
No, oh,
well. Just don't tweet about him.
Yeah, no, yeah, just don't tweet reviews at him. That's he just doesn't like that.
But. Unless they're good.
Yeah, unless I guess so. Yeah.
Unless they're positive.
Yeah. All right, Dan. How about you, man?
You know, it was a light pile this week. You know, I could quickly mention the fight that took place in Uncanny X-Men 13. So, quick setup is essentially the five lights minus Kenji, because apparently, spoiler alert, Kenji died. I didn't know this happened, but the five lights.
Oh yeah,
lights...
he did at the end of Generation Hope.
Oh, I didn't read the end of Generation Hope, so okay.
It wasn't very good. But he died.
Yeah. Okay. So in essence, they escaped from wherever they were. I didn't really read the beginning of the issue, but they were somewhere, and they end up.
They were at Avengers Academy. That's where they had been taken. Yeah.
That's the West Coast Avengers compound.
Right.
Gotcha. So Pixie transported the remaining four, I believe, or three.
Yeah, four.
I can't. Yeah, yes. But I only see three of them.
Velocidad.
Yeah.
Primal. Transonic.
Yeah, and Pixie's there, but who's?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's just the three of them because Hope and Idy aren't there. Right?
Oh, that's right. Idy's at the Wolverine school. Okay, so there's three of them there with Pixie. And they're asking questions to UNIT about why they weren't chosen or brought with Hope wherever she was going. Anyways, don't want to get into that. But the cool part about this is I guess UNIT had programmed or put some subroutine into Danger where she basically took on these four. And took him out pretty quickly, all within a couple of pages. Seems to have, you know, she's a, how did they explain it? She's a trans something morph? Technomorpher. She's a technomorpher. So she can essentially be anything she wants, including making up any weapons. I mean, she is a walking danger room. So she takes out, you know, she blasts, what's this, like,
Velocidad.
These characters kind of suck.
They don't kind of suck. They just downright do suck.
And then the blonde Wonder Man guy, Teon, is that it?
Oh, yeah, right.
Kind of looks like Wonder Man.
Teon, Peon, whatever.
Peon. Yeah. So she makes short – Danger makes short work of him. She basically beat the crap out of him. And the coolest part, though, was when Danger took out – okay, what's that last one's name? The Mystique from the X-Men movies?
Oh, Transonic.
Yeah, her. So she took her out by making this sort of force field and closing it in as a box around her head to essentially suffocate her. So I thought that was pretty cool.
I like the way she backed into it. like how
yeah
you set it up behind her.
It was
like
fully
that.
Open behind her, and she backed into it.
Yeah,
I thought that was neat.
So yeah, that makes Danger pretty scary, especially the fact that she was doing all of this against her will, essentially. Because UNIT was.
I gotta go back and read this issue. I just completely blocked it out of my memory. I know I read it, but yeah.
So yeah, that's it. I mean, it's pretty much the only fight I think I read, because there wasn't really any fight in AVX5 and X Factor. Well, there's you know. One time out of ten, fighting an X Factor.
Oh, I know why this. I blocked this out. Billy Tan's art is just atrocious. God, there's a panel in this issue. I'm looking at it now. He cannot, for the life of him, get Magneto's helmet on Magneto's head. Like it's almost as if it's barely hovering just right over his head, like. What? I mean,
like he's got a mohawk under there or something, and the helmet just.
Oh God, it's so bad, so bad. Why does this AVX thing suck so bad? Ugh, this whole thing, it's just awful. Anyway.
Well, now on to the main event. Get away from that AVX talk.
Yeah, thanks.
Tonight's fight is another teacher versus student fight as Rockslide, who's managed by Infinite Speech, faces the headmaster of the Jean Grey School, Wolverine, who's managed by Daniel Bryan. Dan was the home team and selected the Peak Space Station as his environment. Make sure you listen carefully to this podcast as all the voting rules and game information will be told right after the fight.
All right. Well, if Speech had been here, I texted him a few minutes ago to see if he was ready and haven't heard from him. So I'm guessing he might still be in prison. So I'm guessing that we'll have to forge ahead and let Dan take it away.
All right.
All right. Well, you know, no real rationale to speak of in this case. I think we can essentially cut the bullshit. It chose Wolverine because of his skill, because of his experience. I mean, he is, like you said, Ian, it is teacher versus student in this case. You know, and I chose the Peak Station because you can't take Rockslide anymore out of his element than putting him on a spaceship in space. So I think it'll come down to these two they're brawlers. It's going to end up in fisticuffs. I mean, there's no projectile attacks. There's no sneaky moves here. They're going to find each other and they're going to start going at it. So essentially, it's who can outlast who and who's got the smarts to be able to counter the other one. Santos is a bit of a hothead. You know, he loves to brawl. He is a brawler. He loves to brawl. He has been shown to be learning more about his mutant power, and he has been becoming more powerful. Except in this case, he's only on board with the body he has. There's no other rock or earth available around. So the way I see it here is Wolverine's adamantium can essentially cut through rock. That's not a problem. So you know he's gonna swipe at Rockslide. He's going to start essentially disintegrating the rocks as they're fighting. So they're going to get cut up in smaller and smaller pieces, which could potentially give Rockslide some trouble, as I don't know if the, you know, when the rocks are smaller, if they're harder for him to control because there's more, right? You need more of the rocks to keep your body. So I don't know if that would affect him in that sense. He hits hard, but I don't think he can hit hard enough to actually knock out Wolverine in any kind of way. You have to hit Wolverine. I think Wolverine's got the speed on. Again, he's got the martial arts and the hand-to-hand training that Rockslide doesn't necessarily have. So in this case, I think Wolverine essentially makes dust out of Rockslide. He'll slash away until Rockslide either gets exhausted or essentially can't be anything more than the Sandman, as the rocks get pulverized.
Hmm. Could Rock Slide like bring a like a pass like if he's on the Peak space station, say could he control a like a passing meteorite that's like passing by and like add it to him his own structure?
I'm not extremely familiar with Rock Slide, but doesn't he have to essentially have to be in some form of contact? Like when he's on Earth, he's touching the ground, which means that, yeah, he can control a rock that would be, let's say, 100 to 200 feet away, but essentially they're connected through the ground. So I don't know if that has an effect or not. Don't take my word for it, but I would imagine he has to be within the vicinity or being able to touch the matter.
Okay, right.
Because I haven't seen him like grab rocks from the air. Let's say a rock that was flung at him. I don't know if there was any panel that ever showed him being able to control a rock while it's in the air type thing. That would be one way to prove that potentially he could.
Right, right. Well, what do you think, Speech?
Yeah, I think, you know, Santos has got this one.
That's my best Speech.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry that he didn't get to join us.
Speech is pretty active on the forum, so I'm sure we'll have some discussion throughout the week. So be sure to check in on the forum for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think I would love to have these two never fought in the books, like really like one on one?
From what I've searched, no. There might have been a panel or something where Wolverine was sort of teaching the new X-Men at some point. I'm not sure, but I didn't find any evidence of it that they actually went toe to toe.
Yeah, I think any time they've fought, it's always been off panel and kind of as a joke. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And it's like Dan says, you know, he pulls him into the danger room or something like that, and you can just, you know, see speech bubbles and stuff like, oh man, come on, stuff like that.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I don't think they've ever actually shown it.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
They actually don't show Rock Slide fighting that much, ever.
Yeah, no. He really is just there for comic relief, yeah.
I was looking for a lot of panels where he, you know, I mean, he does cool stuff. He has done cool stuff. Mm. He's fought, but he's looked more badass than he's actually shown to be.
Right. All right. Well, thanks, Dan. it's important for everybody to understand that that both of these fighters are teleported in their respective environments from wherever they are in current continuity. Although they are fully powered, but they're on opposite ends of the environment. And they have full disposal of any and all resources available in the environment. They're not allowed to leave the environment. However, teleportation and flyers are not considered as leaving the environment. So, last but not least, the winner is determined based on the fact that he or she has subdued the opponent's fighter, and subduing can be anything from restraining to full out onslaught of murder and blood and guts. So next week we see Eli Anthony, who is sitting pretty with he has not lost a match yet, but he still has Vision, Invisible Woman, Wonder Man, and Radioactive Man still left. He's already used Emma Frost last week. And so so he has four characters still left to choose from for next week's fight. And he will be taking on Tom McNeely, who still has Iceman left. Both of these guys have used one card. Tom has used a flea card, but still has the rest, his environment switch card, his double team card, and his temporary insanity card. And Eli has used his double team card, so he can't use that. But he still has environment switch, flee, and temporary insanity. So we could see Tom use a double team card here. He could use Iceman against any one of these four characters, but Eli is going to be either facing Iceman alone or the team of Iceman and Professor X. So we'll see what happens with that. That'll be a lot of fun to talk about.
Yeah, for sure. This season, we also introduced a new segment to our show called the COC Power Rankings.
Power Rankings! Which I have to say, Eli did a very good imitation last week. He did a really great job.
That's true. Where Jeff and myself take it upon ourselves to rank 5 new characters each week in terms of just who is the toughest. If you would like to submit a character to be ranked or just want to yell at us for how dumb we are or our choices are, log in at comicattack.former.com and tell us what you think in the COC thread labeled
Power Rankings.
Power Rankings. Very good.
And if you're our 100th member on the board, you get you get your name mentioned at least.
Right, exactly.
What the heck's going on there? Tonight's 5 nominees are, in no particular order, Scar, son of Hulk, Hank Pym, scientist supreme, Justice, whose real name is Lance Astrovic, I believe, Mr. Fantastic, Reed Richards, and Darwin.
Darwin.
International man of mystery. How do you want to handle this?
I get the final say this week, which is awesome.
So you want to go last?
So I'll go last.
Okay. So I'll go first.
Sounds good.
For me, I put I'll say my order and then I'll say why. So I put Mr. Fantastic first, Scar second, Hank Pym third, Justice fourth, and Darwin fifth. Darwin last. Mr. Fantastic I put first because he's basically intangible. Difficult guy to subdue, difficult guy to beat. I've seen him beaten twice handily, and both times I would have to say were almost throwaway scenarios, in the sense that they were comics where you just can't really hold what happened in them as canon. A lot like AVX stuff.
Right. What were they?
Both were against the Hulk, and one was in World War Hulk, and the Hulk actually just pounded Reed Richards by punching him, which I just don't believe it. Do you know what I mean? Like, he can stretch around buildings and stuff, in keeping with the laws of physics and stuff like that. That makes no sense. It makes no sense that the Hulk's punches could hurt him. And then in the other one where Hulk beat him up, that was Contest of Champions 2, mm-hmm. one of the worst miniseries of all time. and what Hulk did was Reed Richards wrapped himself around Hulk's head trying to choke him out by cutting off his oxygen. And what the Hulk did was he inhaled Reed Richards into his, diaphragm
awesome.
Or something like that, and then spit him out.
That may not be that's a great way to subdue Reed Richards, I think.
No, it was. I was actually impressed with that.
Snort him like cocaine and then spit him out.
Yeah.
That's great.
and that's also why I put Scar second, because of Hulk's impact on Mr. Fantastic. I put Scar right below him. I don't think Scar could do those things to Mr. Fantastic, but he's proven to be a pretty tough character, especially with beating the Dark Avengers recently, single-handedly beating the Dark Avengers recently. I put Hank Pym as third. Hank Pym, I find I think Hank Pym's really underrated. I think he's a great character. He's got great powers. He can grow, he can shrink. And he's incredibly smart and really, really crafty. You know what I mean? So if someone were to put Hank Pym as first on this list, I wouldn't think that would be, you know, some weird thing. And then I put Justice as fourth. I think Justice he's a great character. I love Justice. But the main thing that I love about Justice is I love all of his insecurities. It makes him a really fun character to read about. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, in power rankings like this, those same insecurities, while they make him an interesting character to read about, they don't make him the most reliable in a fight. So I put him as fourth. Last but not least, I put Darwin. Darwin is a victim of Darwin's, I think, been a victim of Marvel writers who have no freaking clue how to write how to write this character. His powers are awesome. There's nothing like it, I don't think, in the Marvel universe, which is all the more reason why they should be exploring this character more and really, you know, really using him in a unique way. But instead, they don't. And you know, the I think the one thing that's going to haunt Darwin till the day he dies is the fact that when he was going to fight the Hulk, he teleported away, and that was his body's, you know, adaptation to the fight. So I think, and I think that for me, that'll haunt Darwin until they remedy it, until he fights the Hulk and does something better, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that
you don't his, you don't think X-Men First Class movie is going to haunt him?
That's what I was just going to say.
Out of canon, out of canon.
Doesn't matter.
Out of canon. He was the only black guy on the team. He had to get,
which the character in the comics, of course, is, you know, half Hispanic, nowhere near black.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Bad, bad, bad. All right.
Dan, did you want to chime in here?
Yeah, I think the way you put them in order is pretty accurate. It's the way I would have put them too. You put Mr. Fantastic first, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd actually just bump Hank Pym up. I'd switch him and Scar. And then so I'd have Mr. Fantastic, Hank Pym, Scar, Justice, then Darwin. I think Hank Pym could almost easily take out Scar, because Scar is not as strong as Hulk, and Hank Pym as Giant Man has held his own against Hulk before. Or he can just shrink small, and I think Hank Pym has the smarts working for him, which Scar essentially doesn't, being basically a teenage boy. You know, Scar is badass, and I love Scar, but I think Hank Pym gets over it on him.
Cool. All right. Okay. Longtime COC fans know that there is a go-to character for Jeff Jackson. And one of those go-to characters, there are a number of go-to characters for me, but one of those go-to characters which has not served me well at all is Darwin. And so I'm really conflicted about this, but I'm going to make this case. I'm putting Darwin at the top. I know y'all put him at the bottom. I'm going to put him at the top, and I'm going to tell you why in a second. And then followed by Hank Pym. Followed by Scar, then Mr. Fantastic, then Justice, okay? And the reason for Darwin is, first of all, this guy, his power is to react to anybody else's power. So, you know, it's a completely defensive one, but in terms of power, and this is the power rankings, I mean, this is awesome. This is the best power you can have ever. If that one World War Hulk X-Men story had not happened, I would not have been beaten by the likes of Emma Frost in the previous COC battles. But that one's a hard thing to justify. But here's what I really say about Darwin currently. Is that most recently Darwin, in the pages of X Factor, which Ian doesn't read, but Darwin ended up leaving the team because they had gone to Asgard, or they were fighting, they're fighting Hela, basically, and in order to fight Hela, see this makes up for the Hulk thing for me. In order to fight Hela, he basically became Hela. And he took on her death powers. So right now he's carrying some certain amount of power, and he ended up beating Hela. Now, and, you know, she's an Asgardian god, the god of death, and he beat her, and he ended up leaving because he felt like he had, you know, taken on so much power that he didn't really know what to do with it, and so he kind of is like kind of going on a kung fu master kind of walkabout journey, and to figure things out, but it was hinted at that he still holds the death persona or the death powers of Hela within him. So that's why I would actually put him currently. I think I would agree with you guys any other time, but currently in current continuity, I would put Darwin at the top simply because of the Hela powers. Plus, he's just freaking awesome.
In light of the most recent issue of X Factor, the fact that Rain is going to go search out for her baby, do you think this is when Pad might bring Darwin back?
Yeah,
into the
and
story?
He has said in interviews that he has not forgotten Darwin, so he's coming back to Darwin, so that should be forthcoming. And okay, followed by Hank Pym, and my case for Hank is that. While Reed tends to be considered the biggest brain of the Marvel Universe, I actually think that he and Hank are evenly matched in terms of their genius. Hank has just had more of an Achilles heel in the past than Reed has,
big Achilles heel, when its name's Ultron.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But the other thing about Hank is that he can grow exponentially, and his strength increases with him. So that's why I put him above, in terms of a power ranking, put him above Reed, because he's got the strength. He's on par with Scar here, I think, in terms of strength, but with the brains and the brawn that he potentially has at his disposal, to me that puts him at a higher level. So I would put Scar next, and really just because of his inexperience, but really he's proven himself to be a pretty awesome warrior in the short time that he's been in the Marvel Universe, and he's pretty strong as well, and. Mr. Fantastic, I agree with you, Ian, about kind of how Reed has been written, and he should be kind of impervious to most anything. But I don't know. I mean, you can still destroy a rubber band, you know. Like you can still, I think in a fight between Reed and Wolverine, I think Reed would get sliced up pretty quickly, and. And so I always kind of put that in the forefront, I don't think he's not impervious to pain. He's just stretchy, so that's why I put him. And then it kind of pains me to put Justice at the bottom of the list because he's another kind of go-to character for me. I just love him and I think he's awesome and I kind of wish that somebody would do something with him, like Dan Slott did in.
Initiative,
and and then in the New Warriors stuff, I'm a huge New Warriors fan, and so I love Justice. But in terms of all of these, this crew, I would put him, at the bottom of the list. So, in the overall rankings, when I did this earlier, I had put Darwin kind of at the bottom, but I think what I'm going to do, just because of Darwin's current things, and we can argue about this, I guess. I'm going to put Darwin just under Scarlet Witch, but above Ultron. And
what?
Yeah, I am at current level. That's what I'm going to do. Now, if he's shown, I'm willing to move him. I mean, this is a movable list, I'll put him there. I'll put Hank and Scar also right underneath him. So I'll put all of them under Ultron because I think, in the end, I think Scar could take out Ultron. I don't know. What do you guys think? think Scar could take out Ultron?
No.
No?
No, me either. Not even Nova. I don't think he could. Ronan the Accuser would be a tough one for. I'd put him somewhere like between Ronan and Drax on the list where it currently stands.
All right. Okay, that's fair enough. I'll put him under. I'll put him under Ronan. And, but I have to put Hank above Ultron because he's the creator, and he eventually, I think he can take out Ultron. And I think he has before, right? So I will put Mr. Fantastic. I will put Mr. Fantastic just under Scar, and above Warlock. And then I'll put I'm going to put Justice a little bit lower on the list. I'm going to put him. I'm going to rank him underneath Ms. Marvel, but above but above Cable. I think telekinetically, I think he could take out Cable. So that's the controversial decision for the rankings that we had that Ian did put Hank at 11. Oh no, I'm sorry, Mr. Fantastic at 12, which puts him at the top, and Hank Pym at 11, Scar at 10, Darwin 7, and Justice at 5. So Darwin got a little bit of a bump there. So there we go. Anything you guys want to add to that?
Yeah, you put him way higher than I would. That's for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
All of those I put way higher?
I think so. Especially Justice and Darwin.
Where would you put them? Just for.
I would put them.
Where would you put Justice, for instance?
Below Quentin Quire.
Okay.
So I'd put them above Monet.
Right.
But below Quentin. And if not below Quentin, then above Quentin, but below Emma.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that. I can put him there. That's good. Yeah, thinking about Rachel Gray and Invisible Woman, yeah. I agree. Justice, I don't think, could take out Sue or Emma, for that matter. So
I think,
yeah.
And I think Cable would take out Justice.
You think so?
I do. I think he's too. I think Justice is.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
He's just gung ho. Like he never has any strategy with the way he does things.
Right.
You know, he uses his TK to blow things up and stuff. You know.
Right. Well, and Darwin for me. I mean, like I said, I think he can be very movable. And I'd like to see what ends up happening with him in X-Factor because he's kind of in a bit of a limbo. I mean, we don't really know what the extent of his powers are right now.
Darwin could teleport right off that list.
Yeah, well, some people might want him to. Yes, but anyway, all right. So that's our power rankings, and that's our show. So thanks, everybody, for listening to episode number 34 of COC Live. Please go visit us at comicattack.forumer.com under COC to vote for who you think is the most deserving to win tonight's fight. If you have any questions that you would like answered on the show, please email them. Or no, don't email them. We need to change that in the script. We just put them in the Ask the COC Seers thread in the Contest of Champions forum on the site. That's probably the best way. Please feel free to add whatever comments you want in the fight thread and put your two cents in there and vote. And also look for us on Twitter at COC Comic Attack. And also, you can find us on iTunes and you can find us on Facebook under COC Podcast. So search for us there too. And there's tons of ways that you can connect with this show.
And in case you're looking for us, we record every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So be sure to get your votes in on the forum before then. After some top-notch editing work by Jeff, the fight is posted and ready for listening, usually by the following Tuesday, oftentimes earlier. Thanks again to our great competitors. Competitor. thanks to our great competitor, Dan, and Speech.
And if you'd like to post bail for Speech, yeah, you can do that by sending money to my PayPal account.
Yeah.
So any amount is good. So.
And Speech, if you're listening, we're making you a cake with a file in it right now.
Yeah, definitely.
And of course, thanks to my co-host, to Father Jeff, who, like always, does an outstanding job. We missed you last week.
Thanks. I missed you guys.
And most of all, thanks to the listeners who, help keep our download numbers up and keep it interesting for us and give us reason for doing this show.
That's right.
So for all of us, or from all of us at COC, have a great week.
Good night.
Excelsior.
Let's get ready to rumble. Contest of